ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम टुडे कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल्ड अम्बरीश महाराज ऑफेंडेड बाय दुर्वास मुनि। We'll read text number 46 first and then recite 47. Evam bruvana utkritya chatam rosha pradipita tayasa nirmame tasmai krityam kalano lopamam. Translation by Sri Vangdeshla Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, as Durvasmani said this, his face became red with anger. Uprooting a bunch of hair from his head, he created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation to punish Maharaj Amrish. Text 47. Tamapatantim jvalatim asihastam padabhuvam वेपयांतिम समुद्विक्ष्या न च चाला पदान नृपः तामापतंतिम ज्वलतिम असिहस्तां पदाभुवम् वेपयांतिम समुद्विक्ष्या न च चाला पदान नृपः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, taking a trident in his hand and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Amrish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed and did not move even slightly from his position. Purport, Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Bhagavatam 6:17:28. A pure devotee of Narayan is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father but was not at all afraid. Although he was only a 5-year-old boy, therefore following the examples of Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees. Yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. Hare Krishna. So, Amrish Maharaj perform his duties in accordance with scriptural injunctions, with the advice of elevated brahmanas, and in a very holy place. Probably this pastime is taking place at the banks of the Yamuna in the forest of Madhuban. And just as in Vrindavan was not a peaceful place when Krishna was there personally. There are so many demons coming every day. And Amrish Maharaj is also going to the place of pilgrimage, Sri Vrindavan Dham, performing nice Kartik Vrat. If someone goes to Kartik, to Vrindavan, he is expecting a very nice time in Vrindavan Dham. Of course, Amrish Maharaj also similarly expecting, performing his duties in devotional service everything supposed to go well. In fact, the vrata he is performing is called a Dwadashi Vrat by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Generally, we generally say that we perform the Ekadashi Vrat. Generally, we believe like that. But here, the mention is that there is the Vrat of Dwadashi. And it is also that after the Dwadashi Vrat, there is 3 more days of the ceremonies to be performed. That means that actually the Vrata which we perform, Ekadashi, is actually Dwadashi Vrat, in the sense that it ends after, ends on Dwadashi, but generally the breakfast time, the Paran time, is the object of meditation. Generally when we see the Vaishnava calendar, we see Ekadashi Vrat and we see the next day's breakfast timings. But here, the mention is that the Vrata is Dwadashi, meaning that it is a 3-day Vrata. 1 day before Ekadashi, 1 day Ekadashi before we also prepare. But the preparation is different preparation. If someone reminds us, yes, tomorrow is Ekadashi, oh really, thank you for reminding me. But not for the sake that, you know, tomorrow we have to chant more rounds and we have to absorb more in the Bhagavatam. I should have probably a sumptuous dinner so that I can survive the next Ekadashi, the coming Ekadashi. But actually, the Vrata starts a day before Ekadashi and completes a day after Ekadashi. And this is how Ambarish Maharaj is breaking fast. Fast breaking from Ambarish Maharaj. He's saying that, in fact, when he's confused as Durvasmani approaches here and is asking for advice as to how to make this, how to complete this fast at the same time, keep proper respect for Durvasmani. So then, generally the Brahmanas say that you can always break your fast, no problem. You have done your duties and Durvasmani would definitely understand. But then it was Maharaj Ambarish, he wanted to be really very safe. And therefore, asitam and na asitam. Very important shloka, it says that, text number 39 and 40. Ahur av ab bhakshanam, bhakshanam vipra, hi ashitam nashitam chatat. What is eating as well as not eating is taking a little of water. That means the fast is broken, technically, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the sense that, it is said here that nasitam, not eating. Eating as well as not eating. So, I think so the nashta also has come from this word, nashitam. It is not nasitam, it is basically asha is there. So definitely these words like breakfast, I mean this is amazing. However we try to avoid the Vedic culture, it keeps falling, it tags along, even if we completely adopt the Western way of seeing things. Breakfast. The name breakfast also has come with a very deep connection with the nashitam. It's breaking fast. So basically, Ambarish Maharaj is so cautious to perform his vrata, and we see how sensitive a Vaishnava is to the details, to the finer aspects of devotional service. He never takes anything for granted, never thinks anything cheaply, never thinks anything for mechanical. And therefore, The purpose is therefore not lost. While Durvasa Muni, though he has been very qualified as a Brahmana, as Brahmachari, a very powerful mystic yogi, there are differences in Amrish Maharaj's taking bath in the Yamuna and Durvasa Muni's taking bath in the Yamuna. Amrish Maharaj is going to take bath in the Yamuna to complete his fast. And Durvasa Muni also is going to the bank of the Yamuna, knowing that if he could know that Amrish Maharaj has broken his fast by drinking water, he also knew that Amrish Maharaj is performing this virata. He was conscious of it. Yet, he had to go to Yamuna to take bath at a time when devotees are engaged in very serious devotional service. He is going and taking bath in the Yamuna probably for a long time. It is said that it is the month of Kartik. The month of Kartik is ending in this season. And generally in Vrindavan, it is the winter is sets in the middle of Kartik or the beginning of Kartik. So generally, even that excuse or even that possibility that it's too hot, it's summertime, and Durvasa Muni wanted to chill out in the Yamuna for a long time because he had been traveling, there was too much of heat, also was not a possibility. It was pretty decent, comfortable weather, and a dip would have done. Dip would have solved it, that fatigue, and perform his Gayatri. Probably a longer Gayatri than usual, and a longer bathe in the Yamuna complicated the whole condition. Because the Vrata, the Muhurta was passing by, and it was not that it did not take for the saintly people to go and take a bath. It was like considered a fresh, quick bath. But here, Durvasa Muni is being consistently insensitive. And this is so important when we want to progress in devotional service, is how much we are becoming more and more sensitive to things, to devotees, to people around us. Well, we can never please the karmis or the materialistic people. We may remain sensitive, we may remain very cautious. Today just I was arriving in the local train. I was chanting on the way. And I was chanting quite decently silent. I mean, just hearing to my chanting. Hopefully I was hearing, but there was another person who was just right in front of me, and he was sideways and his ear was facing my tongue, my mouth, and then I was chanting, unaware of what's happening around. After some time this person said, "Awaaz aa raha hai, awaaz aa rahi hai." I said, "What? Who's he talking to?" I said, "This is the plight of culture in this day and age. A whisper is considered as sound, that too, the name of the Lord. This is how people have become averse to Krishna consciousness. They are so sensitive. They are very sensitive, but they are sensitive to their own false ego, to their envy. To the degree the materialistic people are so cautiously envious, so methodically egoistic, the devotee goes in that opposite extreme to become extremely selfless, extremely in the mood of service. So this is a typical nature of this material existence. We can't avoid being sensitive. We have to be sensitive. Either we are sensitive to our own ideas, own conceptions, own preconceived ideas which may not which may not very much cohes with the overall idea of devotional service. Absorbed we must be. There is no escaping absorption. It is only important where and how are we absorbed, to what degree we are absorbed. And therefore, we'll see Srila Prabhupada being extremely sensitive, extremely sensitive. Sometimes he could hear trickling of some water going down the drain while he was in his room. We see in Vrindavan, typically, he was aware of the bells ringing and said, Chokidar, call the devotee, call the secretary. The Chokidar is sleeping, go and wake him up. Again, Srila Prabhupada was waiting. In fact, it was not waiting that, you know, waiting for the Chokidar, that, no, he'll catch him. But Prabhupada was sensitive, Prabhupada was aware. And when we actually make more and more progress in Krishna consciousness, we start to become more and more aware of everything. Ambarish Maharaj was very sensitive, but Durvasa Muni was extremely insensitive. And therefore, in defense, Durvasa Muni, now he is creating that furor, that since you do not be sensitive to my needs, therefore you need to be punished. So, this is how it goes ahead. And now, Maharaj Ambarish is, of course, this katha is being spoken by Shukdev Goswami in assembly of great Rajarishis, Brahmarishis, and many great saintly personalities. Probably every pastime that Shukdev Goswami is speaking, Parikshit Maharaj is making his link with him, with the pastime. He is Maharaj, he is Ambarish, the king of the whole universe. Yet, he is not the slightest being wavered by this great calamity. Shukdev Goswami is not saying how you will prepare for your imminent passing from this world, but he is simply speaking Krishna Katha, in which Parikshit Maharaj has to find out what he has to do at his point of time of death. Last time we were speaking of this past time that Srila Prabhupada was in the early days, and Prabhupada was writing, was typewriting on his typewriter, and he was doing all those things, and the newly initiated or newly coming these boys, they were wanting to help Prabhupada. So then they thought Prabhupada is never asking them what to do. So we find that Garg Muni Prabhu finally thinks that I want to serve Prabhupada. So finally goes to find what will help Prabhupada. So he found that dictaphone. And then when he gave the dictaphone, Srila Prabhupada used the dictaphone, was very grateful. And he said, Prabhupada, tell us how to serve you. Please tell us how to serve you. Prabhupada said, just assist in the mission of the spiritual master. A very generic reply. Why Prabhupada gave a very generic reply? Because Prabhupada said that I want my disciples to be independently thoughtful as to how they want to assist this mission of the spiritual master. Everyone has that free will. Assist one must. And therefore one must be very much sensitive to understand the needs of the mission. And only when we understand the mission of the spiritual master, then we are ready to assist. Prabhupada did not say, do this, do that. He didn't want just people to come and just render very mechanical devotional service. He wanted the disciples to pour their heart, their energy, their entire consciousness of their own volition, of their own seeking. That would be the most wonderful aspect of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a constant beacon light for all of us. Each of these purports, just like Shukdev Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us. We would like to become Parikshit Maharaj, absorbed. And Srila Prabhupada is speaking these purports to his disciples, so that they will make their own decision, they will make their own commitment, they will make their own dedication. they will improve their quality of devotional service. Prabhupada is speaking to every one of us. Everyone will take it. Some will take Srila Prabhupada's purports in a specific way, and others will take it in a different way. But the inspiration has to come from the same source. So now we'll see that here, Parikshit Maharaj is so much inspired, because if he is going to act at his time of death, he is going to confirm, have I acted, have I thought, have I been absorbed like the other devotees that Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj was speaking on? And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam may be a regular hearing affair. In the initial years, we may hear Srimad Bhagavatam with very novel interest. New things. Very much enthusiastic. Probably in my early years, I remember sitting here, the other side, and would come with my notepad and pen, would practically write the whole lecture. That enthusiasm was there. Years later, that plateau comes when we are hearing and we almost know what the speaker is going to say next, which pastime is going to speak next. And then we believe that, I could have thought of something better than that, because I have heard the same class from someone else, or I have read this section just recently. I feel like sitting up here and giving this point at this point of time. Manasavegam. But years later, Srimad Bhagavatam remains like a confirmation session or a confession session. Either confession or confirmation. Either we have to confess. We have to confess. It's both of that sometimes. We have to confess that, you know, we are a party to that guilt to that typical expectation. And confirmation is that when we do something, oh yes, I am encouraged, because Srila Prabhupada is saying the same thing. And I hope I lived up to Srila Prabhupada's expectations. That is the inspiration that is for a sadhaka to continue his devotional service and constantly apply application. Prabhupada said the process is very easy, but application is very difficult. And a constant struggle to apply these teachings will make the Bhagavatam dynamic and alive in our life. And then that stage can come where Maharaj Ambarish is standing in front of that demon, unexpected, about to attack him. And the verse is saying that, na chachalo, not even move. In fact, what to say of that? Before that, the earth was trembling, but Samudviksha, he was seeing him perfectly. He could, just like you could describe the form of Krishna, Ambarish Maharaj could describe the form of the demon. Generally, when a difficulty comes, we don't want to see the whole calamity. We don't want to even hear about it or envision it. Just, can we forget it about all? Ambarish Maharaj was seeing the calamity. Why? Why he was Samudviksha? He was seeing intently. He was seeing Krishna in that demon. Prabhupada, some disciples in Mayapur were talking about the nuclear bomb threat. And Prabhupada was talking that, you know, what if this nuclear bomb is hurled? Prabhupada said, we will see Krishna coming in that bomb and we'll chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was one in Mayapur. This is the fearlessness of a devotee. We'll try to explain this, a little bit of this purport in these four terms. Prabhupada is saying that a pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger, though he is very careful about spiritual dangers in life. He is very careful to deal with that. Secondly, there is a need to tolerate all awkward situations in this world, Prabhupada is saying. One should learn how to tolerate awkward situations in this world, and yet depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And this way, a devotee is never disturbed. So the four phases of a devotee's response to such a calamity or probably in times of even not calamities, he is never afraid of any material danger, fearless, tolerant, dependence, and undisturbed, dhira. Fearless, Srila Prabhupada was example of fearlessness. In fact, once in his room in Mayapur, when disciples were having, Prabhupada was having darshan with his devotees, and Shuta Kirti Prabhu went in the bathroom of Srila Prabhupada and they found a 6-foot cobra sliding, just missed him. And he became like shocked and he went and he just came out, didn't want to disturb Srila Prabhupada's darshan. And Bhavanand Prabhu was there that time, and then Bhavanand Prabhu, there is some, Maharaj, there is a cobra, a 6-foot cobra in Prabhupada's bathroom. And he was expecting that Bhavanand Maharaj would deal with the situation in a very pacified way and then not disturb Srila Prabhupada's darshan. In fact, he went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, there is a snake in their bathroom." Everyone got disturbed, dispersed. Rasparayan, come. Because Rasparayan was a very huge bodied devotee and, Kshatriya. Rasparayan came with a knife, a very big knife. And they all ran. And Prabhupada got up and started chanting. Everyone went looking after the snake, probably thinking there was a plot by someone. How could snake come up the second floor? Maybe someone had placed it, there is something problem, conspiracy and all those things. And immediately, they found a snake, the cobra, just sliding on that pipe. Rasparayan caught hold of it and actually cut that snake in 2 pieces with the sword, with the knife. But snakes always travel in pairs. The mate would be dead somewhere else. So they are more worried that there is another snake which is around. And they are looking for that now. By the time Prabhupada was chanting japa and then finally they were trying to find this and they could not find it. But they found that this mate for was also somewhere close by. But they could not catch hold of it. So next day Prabhupada was being massaged by his servant, Harishwari Prabhu. And Prabhupada said, actually, the snake, sometimes snakes are there just to kill a particular person. And only when they kill that person, in fact, in the end stage of their life, even these snakes develop wings to reach that person. And then, unless they kill that person, they are not pacified. And after killing that person, they die. So Prabhupada said, probably that mate is still remaining, that snake. And Harishwari Prabhu said, Prabhupada saying, so what do you think? Prabhupada, I don't know what to think, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, let that snake come and bite. We will chant Hare Krishna. Very coolly, relaxed, composed. And this is what happened to Parikshit Maharaj also. The snake bird is coming, Takshak. Takshak specifically to kill Parikshit. And therefore, before we come to that stage, that fearlessness has to be developed. And we can always see how much fearful we are of material dangers in this life. I think so, Jain, in the temple hall, there was a class in the evening, in the Aivas Yatra. And then suddenly, some lizard fell from the top of the ceiling. And everybody was disturbed. Everyone got up, the whole thing was disturbed. Small flies come sometimes, small insect. So basically, Prabhupada was very much concerned in that way. In the naxalites also, we find how Prabhupada was dealing with the naxalites. And Prabhupada started to chant, Chinta mani prakara sadma sukalpa vrikshan. Everything became silent. Still the naxalites were saying, fly or die. Prabhupada said, we'll meet him. Let us meet them. Prabhupada met them in person. Everything was pacified. So basically, it is what we are convinced in is what will explicitly manifest to other. And therefore, if we are fearless, then that fearless has to be on faith in shelter of Krishna. And therefore, this dependence which has to be there is so important. depending on Krishna is actually, in fact, Prabhupada is saying now that even if situations will come in life, we have to learn to tolerate them. Fearless or not fearless, you have to face it. If you are not fearless also, you have to face it. If you are fearless also, you have to face it. And sometimes we think, oh, tolerate, okay, means we have to just tolerate material dualities inflicting upon us. But there is something else that Prabhupada was talking on this morning walk. Prabhupada was in Mayapur. And Prabhupada happened to inspect a circular block, which is a toilet complex. And Prabhupada could smell, Prabhupada could see, and Prabhupada could see feces lying, stool lying around. And then he opened one door, found everything covered, typically as we go on a yatra, anywhere a toilet, covered with stool. Prabhupada said, what is this? To all his Western managers, Western devotees, what is a company. Prabhupada, actually, these are all new Bengali devotees. And they are not accustomed to using toilets. We Western devotees don't go here. Prabhupada said, you nonsense. They are accustomed to passing stool in the fields. Therefore, they don't know how to use a toilet. But you know how to use a toilet. So how can you allow these things to happen? And Prabhupada was so heavy. What Prabhupada was heavy on? Prabhupada said, this is tamogun and rajogun. And Prabhupada said, just like if fire is with fire, there is no effect. If acid is with acid, no effect. If alkaline with alkaline, no effect. But acid with alkaline, there is effervescence. There is reaction. Fire with water, there is reaction. There is smoke. There is dust. But if we are in tamogun, if this is in tamogun, and therefore if you can tolerate, that means you are still in tamogun. So then what is the benefit of initiating? What is the purpose of initiation? We expect that you chant Hare Krishna, you follow four regular principles, and you develop a mode of goodness. And that's how Brahman Diksha is given. Second initiation. And Prabhupada said, that means we have not even come to that level of goodness. So what is the point of second initiation? Prabhupada is saying, if we can tolerate these things, then what is the point of doing all this business? And Prabhupada then went to greet the deities and the Bhagavatam class. And he's talking about Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is being benedicted by Narasingdev. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, although I am born in the mode of Rajogun and Tamogun, still you are so merciful and you have showed your mercy upon me. And Prabhupada said, just see, like this toilet, in the Bhagavatam class. It was on his mind, very fresh. And this time he didn't speak, you know, he didn't speak in spirit, he spoke in detail. Just see, that does not mean that we have got this process of Krishna consciousness and we can tolerate that. So Prabhupada said, some things are to be tolerated and some things you won't tolerate. If there is a dirt in the room, if there is a brahmana, either the dirt will remain or the brahmana will remain. Either of it. So sometimes this is, Prabhupada was not compromising in some terms, and sometimes he was like very flexible in spirit. So the tolerance also has to be in spirit. There was a Grahastha Sannyasi controversy also that time in Mayapur. And Prabhupada is talking about this matter, and his Prabhupada is resolving in a very wonderful way. And Prabhupada is saying that in Kali Yuga, no one can be perfect. So don't be happy finding fault with others. There is no point finding fault with others. Just chant Hare Krishna and make spiritual advancement. The grahasthas cannot follow all the rules and regulations, and neither the sannyasis. Prabhupada is saying very plainly. Another time, that was the 10th anniversary of ISKCON, and Prabhupada is, the huge cake has been made. There is ISKCON written in that cake. Prabhupada has been offered the cake. Now, sometimes we have become, we don't want this Christian concept, of course, that sometimes we say that this is not Vedic concept. Cake cutting. So Prabhupada is given the cake, the knife, and Prabhupada is saying, what to do? So I have to cut it, Prabhupada. Okay. Prabhupada cut it, and it's like, you know, just went zzz, inside. Prabhupada said, this is fantastic. Who's done this cake? Lalita Sakhi, as Lalita Sakhi Devi has cooked, has made this cake. He said, very good. The women must cook and please their husbands. Prabhupada is saying that. And then Prabhupada is saying that. So Prabhupada, one devotee asks, Vrishakapi Prabhu, Prabhupada, you say that, what do you say, this is this cake cutting bona fide? As like some of our brahmacharis, they really hate that concept, you know. Especially sometimes on their appearance days, someone brings a cake. So like, you know, sometimes cake cutting. And then Prabhupada was asked this question. I mean, like, for all of us, this is to be accepted as absolute truth now. Prabhupada said, whether, Prabhupada said, prasadam distribution. Whether you cut it or take it by the hand, we are interested in distributing prasad. Prabhupada never meddled with so many things. And of course, to those who wanted to cut, the facility is there to cut. And those who want to take it by the hand, the facility is to take by the hand. Ultimately, the prasadam should be distributed and it should be very nicely made. Prabhupada was concerned about the spirit. And therefore, in tolerance, these things are very important sometimes. These things sometimes irritate a person and no, this is the way it should be done. No, this is the way it should be done. Finally, there is only one way to be done. Probably if we understand that one way, in fact, then Prabhupada was talking so many issues at that time, in that, you know, cake cutting and all the other things that Prabhupada talked about. So therefore, a husband and wife should live peacefully. Prabhupada is talking. And then, but then, you know, now even the boys and girls can't stay together. Prabhupada is talking at those times. And then Prabhupada said, therefore, there is no question of divorce. There's no question of divorce, Prabhupada is saying. He said, just like if a husband does not like the wife, Prabhupada is talking about, the kings or people, if the husband does not like the wife, then he is allowed to marry more wives. And maybe not that he may like all the wives equally. So the king, so that Prabhupada is saying that just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was criticized by Suruchi about his mother. Though she was the first wife, the king did not like, but that does not mean that she has to leave. Prabhupada said, Pradyumna Prabhu said that this concept of divorce came from Henry VIII. Henry VIII had two wives and he wanted to marry more. But the law or the church did not allow either a divorce or to marry. So then he just beheaded his wives, killed them. That's how divorce started. Okay, better not to kill, just separate. And then Prabhupada said, then some devotees asking, Prabhupada, should we have polygamy in ISKCON? This was the kind of questions that were asked those times. I mean, we know now the value of such a question that, you know, and we could also answer probably, and that's what Prabhupada also answered. Prabhupada said, a husband cannot even maintain one wife. So what is in Kali Yuga? One cannot even maintain one wife. So Prabhupada is giving many such insights. And therefore, a devotee tolerates in spirit. He may feel the pain, does not mean that we have to become hard stone, dull stone. The pain may be there, but the spirit is not affected. The spirit consistently increases in his dynamism. Though we may see devotees in failing health, difficulties, some other difficulties, but if those devotees go on in their enthusiasm to preach and serve Krishna, then that is the credit. Therefore, such devotees become fully dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And that's how Prabhupada is also saying that this way, depending on Krishna. Depending on Krishna means, in essence, giving credit to others. And there is, does not seem a far distant connection. We become dependent only when we feel ourselves helpless and ourselves as not the doers. His Honorable Radha Swami Maharaj gives a very nice quote that culture of civilization is to give credit to our predecessors and acharyas. That is culture of civilization. A culture is a civilization where one continuously gives credit to the predecessors and the acharyas. In that way, one can remain dependent on the Supreme Lord. As soon as we think, we made it, we did it, we followed the whole thing, we could envision the whole thing, then everything is messed up, everything is finished. And how Krishna is so merciful, though the devotee does not want the credit, Krishna wants to give the credit to his devotees. And that's how Prabhupada is saying in one of the purports that Krishna wants to give the credits, and Krishna has this plan that he executes through his devotees. And this plan, as he's executing through his devotees, this plan cannot be seen just like that. This plan has to be perceived through the medium of the spiritual master. The plan of Krishna through the devotees, to give credit to devotees, has to go through the medium of Guru. And therefore, the Guru Nishtha of a disciple is the precipitating factor for the dependence. Where through the medium of the Guru, the disciple continues to think himself as the instrument of the spiritual master, and then sees his God brothers, God sisters, sometimes even materialistic people as being instruments in the plan of the Lord to assist him. Therefore, even Kalyavan was mastermind, was to be killed by Muchukund Maharaj, who was sleeping. Sometimes we are all sleeping, we are not so activated. But suddenly something comes and like the whole overnight a devotee gets a whole credit and glory. Muchukund Maharaj did not know what was coming. But Krishna specifically went to that cave of Muchukund to awaken him, to give him the credit of killing Kalyavan. So, a devotee does not want credit, and therefore the credit will come to him. And when the credit comes to him, he continuously gives in that same loop back from where it has come to the Guru, to the Acharyas. Goes back to Krishna, and Krishna wants to pass it back again and again and again. And that's how a devotee is constantly feeling helpless as a tool, as an instrument in the hands of the previous Acharyas. Prabhupada said that, I am like a puppet. Please pull the strings and make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. And that helpless mood was there always. Prabhupada said that, I do not have done any magic. My magic is that I did not adulterate the words of my spiritual master. I did not compromise the instructions given by my spiritual master. Very simple formula. But the tendency to take credit comes as soon as there is praise, appreciation. And therefore, sometimes there should be an honest appreciation among Vaishnavas. Sometimes we think, no, we should give credit to others. And then we may give dishonest appreciation to a devotee. Either that will look as duplicitous, hypocritical, from our side or from this side. And sometimes it might be taken in a negative, in a exaggerated way. So an honest appreciation for each and every devotee. That's how a devotee constantly is dependent on Krishna. Our devotional service is constantly dependent on others' devotees. Because they are doing their devotional service, therefore I am able to do my service nicely. If I am able to preach nicely, because there are pujaris in the temple, they are serving Radha Gopinath nicely. There are so many devotees are cooking for Krishna. There are so many devotees are serving Krishna. So many devotees are cleaning the temple. Everyone is a preacher. No one is a special person because he receives the praise and appreciation from the people, from the devotees, to be acting as a medium of transferring that credit back to all the devotees. Therefore, a devotee is always appreciating and always dependent on all the other devotees. If this devotee did not perform his service, then I would not be able to do my service nicely. And that's how, in the mood of cooperation, and this constant exchange of appreciation and credit, the dependence becomes almost very natural. And therefore, a devotee in this way becomes completely free. I'm sorry, I didn't just see the time. Probably I was insensitive to my own words. So this is that we could do a little bit justice, and I sincerely beg blessings from all the devotees that because of their enthusiasm, eagerness, and their sincere efforts to preach the mission of Srila Prabhupada, we are also getting constant inspiration. And that's why inspiration comes by giving credit and appreciation. And that's how it is so easy. And then there is no disturbance in devotional service. The disturbance is there when we actually take credit, try to gain credit, appreciation. That's the real disturbance. Disturbance is not from Maya, disturbance is from our own inability to give credit to others, to give appreciation to others. So this is so nice. Amrish Maharaj is completely fearless because he knows that he's simply acting in instruments in the hands of the Lord, and he has nothing to lose and nothing to gain. When a devotee knows he has nothing to lose and nothing to gain, then he is absolutely dependent, and whatever Krishna does, whatever Krishna wants. Prabhupada said, therefore, just go and preach. Even if you don't feel like going and preaching, if you don't feel like working, Prabhupada said, work hard, automatically you will develop detachment. And then you will be able to do your service nicely. The service is not done properly because we have attachment. And attachment is there because there is expectation of praise, appreciation, credit. Jai Granth Rashmat Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samyata Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Thai Gaur Premanandi.